Therefore, that leads us to examine a second wrong way to God, and that's Islamism. Now, why am I saying this? Because I probably get as much mailing on Christian stuff as you do. Do you know what the current mailings are coming out? Lead a Muslim to Jesus using the Quran. And I thought, that's a novel idea. What does the Quran teach about Jesus Christ? Can you lead a Muslim to salvation with a defective Jesus? Well, that's important for us to understand, because in the current news, we hear daily about Islam. And we must choose to remember that the Muslim people have chosen to obstruct their way to eternal life because they believe. Now, let me read to you what, if I was to condense, and I spent about, I'd say, 38 to 40 hours this week reading everything I could find on the Muslims. I mean, I plowed through all my books I have, and I read all my editions and all my apologetics, and then I just read it, you know, all the stuff that's out there in the magazines and on the Internet. And let me distill down to you in about six lines the bottom line of who Jesus is to the Muslims. They believe the Galilean, they like to call him the Galilean, was a great prophet, but he is not the Savior of the world. He did not die on the cross. It only appeared that he did. He was actually taken up alive to heaven before an embodied spirit that resembled him appeared to undergo crucifixion. See, they don't want him to die on a cross for sin. And so they've edited that right out of the record. And since Jesus didn't die, he wasn't raised from the dead, he didn't shed his blood, he didn't atone for the sins of mankind. However, the Islam religion teaches he will come to earth again on the moments before the day of judgment. And at that moment, he will proclaim that Muhammad was God's final and most sublime prophet, and Jesus will lead all of mankind to bow to Islam. That's what they believe. That's what their sacred writings say. It's interesting. They call him the Son of Mary. They say that after this, he will die like any other mortal man and will be raised to life along with everyone else on the last day. For them, the Muslims, Jesus Christ is a prophet, but he's not the divine Son of God who said, John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus claimed to be God. Not, they don't accept that. Secondly, Muslims believe Jesus is not the Savior who died for their sins. They don't believe they need one who said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And unless they and all others who deny the deity of Christ will hear and embrace the good news. What's the good news? That in him, Colossians 2:9, all the fullness of God dwells bodily. In Jesus. That's what Son of God means. It means that he is the incarnation of the infinite, eternal God of the universe in human flesh. Well, we're led to believe, if we read the newspapers, something different than the truth. I'm not a Time magazine quoter, but one of them got me so troubled this week, I'm going to actually read it to you. I'd rather read the Bible than Time magazine, but this is what Time said. It says, America, realize the true peaceful face of Islam. I thought, that's a good article. I want to read that. You know, I was studying Islam, and that was totally contrary to everything I'd read. So here's the opening paragraph of Time magazine. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. Islam is the world's fastest growing religion. If the evil we witnessed a month ago on September 11th was typical of that faith, and if Islam as a religion truly inspired and justified violence, the growth of Islam and the increasing presence of Muslims in Europe and America would be terrifying. You know what? That's true so far. But the next line isn't. Fortunately, Karen Armstrong, religion editor for Time magazine, said, this is not true. It isn't. I wish that were true, but I'm sad to say it's not. We're at war, not just in Afghanistan, but something far bigger than most of us realize. There's a spiritual conflict between one of the three great world religions, as it's called, Islam, and everyone else who's not in that religion. If you read what they've written, if you read and study, and listen to what Muhammad said. That's what he said. If you study it, don't read Time magazine, read what they said. According to Karen Armstrong in Time magazine, most of what we hear in the news media today is no, Islam is peaceful. Don't think that this attack was by Islam. But as we search God's word and seek his perspective on all of life, when we examine today's news and this month's events, we find the truth, and God's word is, that Islam is just the surfacing of the ancient enmity in one family. Do you remember what went on in Genesis 16 when Ishmael was born? Do you remember Hagar's anger and bitterness and the jealousy? And you remember how Ishmael turned out as he was not even considered the son of Abram? Do you remember all that? Think about this. To understand the spiritual dimension of the current events, remember the essence of modern Islam can be found in the Bible, in the record of the founders of the people involved. Now, what do I mean by that? Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, and now the modern Arabic people, and I'm not talking at all about Arabic people. I have many Arabic friends. In fact, I have to even say I have Muslim friends when we're over in Israel. And I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about Islam, the religion. Islam, the religion, has been embraced by the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Esau. That's what the Bible declares. The Bible explains that the Ishmaelites moved into the Arabian Peninsula, as well as the Edomites, which are the descendants of Esau, the son of Isaac, the firstborn son, just like Ishmael was the firstborn son of Abram. And those two firstborn sons were not chosen. God chose the secondborn, Isaac, and the secondborn, Jacob. And that has engendered a lot of hatred, bitterness, jealousy, pride, and a despising attitude, which you will see in Esau and Ishmael, which I have to say has been institutionalized by Islam. That's the essence of this conflict. If you read the Quran, Islam teaches revenge, and if Arabs are harmed, they seek to harm those who harm them. In the West, primarily America and Israel's Jews, and in the Quran, Allah is a crafty, warlike God. And Islam, if you read history, not Time magazine, but if you look at history that hasn't been edited lately, you'll find out that Islam has always spread by war and never by love, and love is entirely absent from that book. What does that mean? Well, let me just contrast the true Yahweh God, Jehovah of the Bible, and Allah of Islam. Allah is presented as unknowable in the Quran and capricious. He does whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob delights in making and keeping covenant promises. He is knowable and he keeps his word. He doesn't flit all around capriciously. Allah of the Quran calls for a warrior agenda, the sword. Islam has divided the world into two parts today. There's Dar al-Islam, that's the domain of the faithful to Islam, and all the rest of us are Dar al-Harb, which is those with whom Islam is at war till Judgment Day. That's what it says. The agenda of Islam is conquest by the sword when necessary. But the God of the Bible, summarized by our Lord Jesus Christ, said this, "The two great commandments are love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor like yourself." Paradoxical, antithetical opposites, these gods. Allah is revealed in the Quran as an amalgam of Hinduism gods, Buddhist gods, Mithraic gods, Greek gods, mystery religions, and there's a little sprinkling of Judaism and Christianity. And many of us in the West naively think that Allah, who inspired Muhammad, could perhaps be the God of the Bible. But God is revealed in his word as a holy, sovereign, all-powerful God of the universe who has nothing to do with the idolatry and paganism of all those roots that are reflected in the Quran of Allah. Allah has no son, the Quran says. Allah rejects the Trinity, the Quran says. Allah is the pagan idol god of Muhammad's tribe before he was born. We have to realize that contrary to popular notion, Muhammad didn't think all this up. He just codified it. He just organized it. He made it monotheistic, but he kept all the paganism of those Arabic Ishmaelites and Edomites. He inherited it and harnessed it. That's Allah, no son, no triune god, with a pagan, idolatrous background. But the God of the Bible is a God who came to earth in human flesh as the incarnate Son of God. Finally, Allah tells Muslims, don't take Jews and Christians for friends, but slay the idolaters or infidels wherever you find them. Fight against those who believe not Allah nor his truth to the last day. By the way, 100 times it says that, not once. I mean, we don't just twist around the Quran, try and find something mean to say about these peace-loving people. And I'm not talking about the peace-loving people. I'm talking about the institution of Islam. 100 times in the Quran, it makes statements like I just read to you. But Jesus, the incarnate God, said, go into all the world, preach the gospel of my peace and my substitutionary death to all creatures, and by your love, everybody will know you're my disciple. Is the God of Islam the God of the Bible? No. Is the Jesus of the Quran the Jesus of the Bible? No. A defective Jesus, a non-genuine Jesus, produces a non-genuine salvation. Believe the truth. God wants all to know him. This knowledge is essential to salvation. The Jews are his chosen people, and those who embrace Christ are his dearly beloved children that he gave his blood to purchase.